Well, good morning. In case you're wondering where Pastor Marcy is, she's actually taking my place at St. Andrews today because I was scheduled to preach there. And after being away for 3 weeks, I thought to wait till 5 weeks till you see me, you'd be wondered if I'd ever come back. So she graciously accepted to change roles here, and she is over there. The one nice thing is she gets out a little bit earlier, so she will be home taking her nap as I'm beginning the 11 o'clock service. So it was a great time away, a great week of vacation, a great time of retreat. Many experiences, many stories in which I would love to share with you, and too many to fill in the short time that I need to talk with you. But I do want to say this about the 2 weeks in retreat, and that is not having access to a regular television, and even during the week that we were on vacation, we didn't really have time to watch all that much because we were so busy. I forgot about how quiet it was the day I got back on Monday and turned the TV on, and all the political ads were going, and I didn't miss one of them, to be honest with you. The quiet, the ability to be in this place where we were in the middle of, on top of a mountain, in the middle of the woods, and having access to the ocean, which was about maybe a 20, 25 minute drive, or to go just another direction, 20, 25 minutes to a wonderful state park that was all redwoods. And I think that probably was the most inspiring time when we went away from the place that we were staying at. Judy and I, often, at least 3 or 4 times in those 2 weeks, probably more than that actually, would go into the park. Now, redwoods are an amazing tree, and as you know, they grow to great heights, over 300 feet. That's an entire football field, some as high as 360 feet. There were trees there that had a circumference or a diameter of 14 feet. Can you imagine, you know? And of course, you've seen the pictures of people driving in through these redwoods in other places. It was interesting as we were walking through there how quiet people were. It was almost a sanctuary. People talked in hushed tones. I don't know whether it was because of the awesomeness of the beauty of these huge trees, or was it that they lived to be 1,700, 2,000 years old? And to think that these trees were around at the time of the signing of the Magna Carta, or at the time of the Civil War, or the time of the Great Depression. To think about the experience that these trees have had in their lifetime. To be able to put your hands on it and to just sense God's awesome power through these amazing creations of His. It was neat. It was wonderful because it pulled you away from all the hassles and the struggles of everyday life, and helped you to be able to just kind of center and focus on your thoughts and relationship with God, and taking that in. Judy and I would sit there for a couple of hours, and I'm sure people walked by and walked several times, but we weren't the only ones. There were others there. There was an American Indian who showed up while we were sitting there, and I'm not sure what she was doing, but she was digging a little bit beneath the roots, or around the roots of the tree, and she was putting things in there. And then the next thing I was hearing, because at one point I just kind of closed my eyes not to be distracted by her, I started hearing this humming, and she was singing this humming this tune as she hugged this tree. It's pretty amazing. And the reason I share that with you is because, you know, in the midst of all the stuff that goes on in everyday living, the fact that we are distracted by so many things, every day there's something new about what's going on with the government or whatever else, and we're being told, you know, we've got to worry about this, we've got to worry about that, and it's distracting. It distracts us from what it is that God calls us to do. And if we're not careful, we'll also be distracted with the gospel as we focus on the woman who gives the 2 pennies. And we think this is about giving, but it's beyond that. It's about how we care for each other. everything that, you know, we are given these days, we have to question. And I would challenge you, because when you hear things in the news, when you hear things that our leaders say, that you should check it and not just assume that it is the truth. You know, we hear about fake news, and it's gotten to the point that it's so confusing that we don't even know what real news is and what the truth is. And that's where it's up to each and every one of us to be able to check our sources, to take the time and to go back and to look at reliable sources that will tell you this is what it is. Even when it comes to preaching from the gospel, when it comes to talking about scripture, that you challenge your pastors, you challenge your faith leaders when there are things that are spoken, so that you may be able to gain more in your relationship and understanding with God. But not to hold on to things that aren't necessarily true or things that run contrary to the gospel. Martin Luther King Jr. Once wrote about a nation. He says, "A nation that continues year after year to spend more money on military defense than on programs of social uplift is approaching spiritual death." I hold those words, and I think about them, and I think about over the years and how differently our society is today compared to even 20 years ago, when there was more of a sense of responsibility for each other and the idea that we are indeed a community, that we care for each other. And now it's become more every person for themselves, at least according to the government and the way it's arranged. We find that there are certain peoples who are scapegoated as being the troubles for all the things that go on in society, whether it's, you know, our economic system or things that are goofed up in other ways. We blame the poor. We blame those who are different than us. We blame the immigrants. And yet that is what Jesus calls us to do, to reach out to those who don't have as much. And oftentimes the argument becomes is that, well, there are people who use the system, and that is correct, there are. But that doesn't stop us from providing for the hungry and for those who are homeless and for those who are alone. It doesn't stop us from heeding the words of Christ as he speaks to us, that he emptied himself so that the whole world may know. He was rich, but gave himself up. Our gospel starts with Jesus telling the disciples about the scribes, these individuals who were knowledgeable about scripture and about the law. They are people who were held in high esteem because they knew what they were talking about. But where he was having difficulty with these individuals was the fact, and I actually almost felt embarrassed about wearing a robe today, because he says they talk about liking to wear long robes so that they could be noticed, and they say long prayers, and then they use the things that they know against those that have no protection. They knew the law. They could manipulate it in such a way that could even extort those that had very little. That's where Jesus is focused on in today's gospel reading. He talks about the false image that they give, this idea of doing all these things but not living it. That in their hearts are corrupt, even though outwardly they seem to be what they say they are. It's like the proverbial apple that looks beautiful, and when you bite into it, you see it's not so good. And Jesus goes from that point of addressing the disciples and saying, look at the scribes and see what they're doing, what they actually are about, to the point where they are in the synagogue or in the temple, and they are watching. He is sitting across the treasury, and he's watching as people are putting in sums of money to support the temple. And as you know, they had these large metal containers that when they put their money in, you could tell when somebody gave a lot because it would make a lot of noise. And he watched as people were dropping sums in and people were, you know, making little eyes at when they were hearing large sounds or an enormous amount of sound when people put large sums in. But then he talked about the woman who only had two pennies. And she put, or two small coins that represented a penny, and she put that in, and he says about her is that she gave everything that she had. She gave out of her poverty, not out of her abundance. I think oftentimes, you know, we kind of mutter and complain that we don't have enough to take care of everyone. We need to support this, we need to support that, and whatever else is left over, they get the you know, just whatever is left over. We operate out of a sense of poverty when in reality we have so much that there is enough to go around, that indeed we can take care of those things that are essential in society, but also at the same time to take care of those who have less. The mandate that God had given to the Jews was one, and especially concerning the widows who had no means of support once they lost their husband, unless there was something that was left for them or that they had a family that was able to support them. But to the widow, to the orphan, to those that were left alone, to the hungry, the Jews were given charge of saying, you need to take care of them. And the problem is that the more that people began to hang on to, the more things that they had, the less they began to give. And the less they began to realize or take care of those things in which God had mandated. Not unlike today. I saw when I came in all the bags that were out there for the food drive, which was great. And today we talk about the holiday baskets. That's something that St. Luke's has always been responding to and helping and doing those things. And there's still even more that we can do. But I want to suggest to you about, you know, that idea of challenging when people say things. Because part of what happens here is that the more that we just simply trust what people are saying and not to look into it ourselves, to find our own ability to grow, to find our own way and understanding of how God interacts with us, the more that we hold on to old things, to things that are half-truths, the more that we hang on to the things of the past, the less we have an opportunity to open ourselves up to how the Spirit moves us. In case you weren't here on Tuesday, we had the pleasure of having Pastor Marcy and Mother Val Ambrose from the Episcopal Church, along with a pastoral candidate for the Episcopal Church, Abby Vanderbrug. And we had them talk about the challenges that women face in the ministry and how, you know, even after all these years, there are still these certain understandings and these certain falsities or these things that we just don't want to let go, even whether we know it or we don't. And we learned about that even not regarding women, but we also learned about persons with disabilities. During St. Luke's week, and the way that we have and address things, at times, what we say, we are well-intentioned, but the reality is, that's not how we should be talking. We don't want to let go. One of the things that I learned in my retreat this past couple of weeks is that sometimes I want to hang on to things. But the more I hang on, the less I'm willing to open myself up to God. The more I hang on to certain understandings that says it has to be this way or it has to be that way, or the more that I hang on to the idea that, you know, in my last years as a full-time pastor before retirement, that I want to do these things or whatever else. One of the things that our retreat leader shared with me as I was talking about sometimes feeling like I'm a top spinning around when I'm serving. I feel like I'm going here, there, wherever, and at times I sometimes wonder if I'm getting things accomplished. And he is the one that brought to mind, he says, do you remember what Paul says about praying continuously? I said, yeah, of course. He says, well, you remind me of being a whirling dervish. And what do the whirling dervishes do? They're praying and they're whirling. He says, David, that's what you're doing. He says, in your work and with what you are doing with others and the way in which you are ministering to those at St. Luke's and St. Andrew's and to those who aren't even a part of either community, and when you go from place to place, he says, you're praying. And I really had to stop and think about that for a minute, because I felt at times that I had no sense of what I was doing at all. And then all of a sudden he's saying, well, you do have a purpose. You are doing something. You are praying because you are concerned for things, and that's what you're doing. You're going from place to place. And he says, you need to let go of the idea that you're not doing anything, but that God is working through you. The longer you have your hands closed because you're hanging on to things, the longer it will take you to open yourself up to receive God. And I realized how many blessings God has given me. The blessing to be here. The blessing of having a family. The blessing of being able to enjoy marvelous things such as the redwoods or a fine glass of wine. And also to be able to see the disturbing things in the world that God has opened me up to say there needs to be things done here. And you need to shepherd your people and you need to lead them to places that others are rejecting. And so we go into the place of the homeless, and we go into the place of those who are hungry. We go into the place of the widowed and to those who are alone. We visit those who are struggling through the experience of death, and through those who are brokenhearted, and through those who have broken relationships and family, to those who are losing jobs, to those who are facing health crises. We move into the lives of all those who are in need. Not because it's convenient, but because that's where God leads us to be. And we become the voice of those who are voiceless. And I hear the words of my bishop who continue to remind me that when we are called to do things, do we only call those who are the image of what we believe a pastor is to be, or do we call others who are different than us? And if we are unwilling to do that, then we do not trust the Spirit. And so, as we hear what the widow does this day, and indeed we admire the fact that she gives out of her poverty, but Jesus isn't saying that he celebrates the fact that this woman is doing that. What he is saying is that what a tragedy it is that she has to do this because no one else is there to give for her, to help her, to provide what she needs in order to live and to hold on and understand that there are those who care and who love and want her to be a part of their family. In the world of Jesus, there is no place for loneliness. There is no place for hunger. For we who have abundance, give of our abundance. But may we give with a heart that understands the calling that Christ has given to us, the direction in which God leads us to empty ourselves so that others may find the love that we have experienced in our relationship with Christ. There is joy in this world, and it's already started with you and God saying you are forgiven and you are loved. And there can be more joy spread as we take this and give it to the rest of the world, reminding everyone what it is that God asks us to do. We cannot be silent. as Jesus spoke to those who said to him in that Palm Sunday entry into Jerusalem, and they said, you need to be quiet, don't do that, you're going to raise the ruckus, you're going to create problems. And he says, if I stifled everybody's voices, the rocks and stones themselves would sing. And let us share and understand and celebrate how the woods, how the rocks, how the stones, and how God's people sing out his praise and his glory for the gift of his Son. Amen.